Today's scripture reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap.
This last week I attended a funeral at the Church of the Messiah. It was Minnie's brother-in-law, and for a beautiful service. It was a great honor for him and his family. But they had the same noise that came over the intercom during the service. And I think it was frightening here today. Be in a somber mood and a death and that noise. We were all looking for something to happen up front. I wasn't, because I've become used to that sound over time. I just wanted to bring out something that Morgan, in a verse of Jesus Paid It All that I don't remember before, and it kind of took my breath as we sang it. And it's still bothering me. It said toward the chorus, it says, when we stand before God, and then it says, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips will repeat. Took my breath to realize that someday that we will stand before God, and that will be our only plea to stand before him. And Jesus is the reason I'm here, and the Jesus is why I've crossed that bar and made it to the right place. Thank you for sharing that verse today. I've never put that before me. Heard that before. And Kenny, talking about the things you don't want to do, I was assigned talking about eldership today. It's always one of those ministry things that you love to be assigned. But something that we're heading into an elder selection process to add to our selection of elders that we already have. And so this is a time that we're going to spend a couple minutes this morning looking at some of those qualifications and some of those thoughts for the coming process. I wanted to tell you up front that there were two books that I kind of got some of our information, three books, obviously, the Bible, but two other books that I found that I've had over the years, and one I always try to give to elders because I think it's one of the most beautiful stories that are, not stories, but books about the eldership that I've ever read. And one is called They Smell Like Sheep, and that is by Dr. Lynn Anderson, a member of the church. And then also My Elders, who was written by Charles Hodge. But They Smell Like Sheep is a perfect description of what elders are to be. And I believe that's what God wants us to have and for our leaders to be. And I believe that God wants them to smell like sheep. And as we go through this conversation, there's several comments that I've taken from that book that I want to put before us today. So I want you to listen. I'll try to identify a couple of the quotes. And there's one quote in particular that I will read word for word because I've been struggling with putting these couple words together. So I'm just going to read the quote instead. But as you read these things that Max read before you, and if you'll turn to Titus, the first chapter, and we read those qualifications, you read these things, and I want you to think in your mind who comes to mind. And they don't have to be our current elders. I mean, all of us should try to have these responsibilities, these characteristics, these virtues, as we learned from our class this morning. From Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 6, says, an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, and who is self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by the sound doctrine and refute all who oppose it. And then the next part of that chapter, I've written troublemakers. An elder is not to be a troublemaker, but in the next part of that conversation, he talks about this is what an elder has to deal with, troublemakers, and in that conversation. As I was reading through that, I thought, oh, an elder is a troublemaker. No. All right, so as we look at the responsibilities of elders today, as we've read those two lists of qualifications, I'd like you also to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager, not lording it over those entrusted you, but being good examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So in our conversation today, I want us to look at a couple of things, some from this chapter, and then pulling in all those characteristics, not all of them, but most of those characteristics that we talked about. So when you think from 1 Peter here, what is an elder? An elder is a shepherd. And in our community today, we don't think a whole lot of the farm life. There are some of us who are involved in farming, but not very many. And so we've kind of lost what that illustration really means. A shepherd was somebody who was there all day and was there every day and all night. He's not the hired hand that comes in, works from 7 to 3, and then leaves, forgets what's, you know, walks away from his duties, responsibilities, and goes on to something else. The shepherd's life was the sheep. He lives with the sheep. He's there when they're born. He leads them by day, protects them by night. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. He knows that shepherd's touch, and it's a genuine relationship that they have together that they share. Today, we look at a shepherd as those who have attracted the flock. You find people that are attracted to a certain leader because of their style or because of their relationships, the genuineness of their lives, the consistency of their service, and the authenticity of their relationship. We all have these surface relationships with some people, and then for some people, we have deeper relationships. And those are important, and especially as an elder, to have authenticity in your relationship. The second thing from this verse in 1 Peter is that mentors are to have, or shepherds are to be mentors. Not only be a shepherd, but mentors. People who have walked the trail ahead of us for a long time. I want you to hear that again, because as I read that, I thought that was very important. A mentor is somebody who has walked the trail ahead of us for a long time in the same direction. That makes sense for an elder? Someone who is on the trail, somebody who is walking a long time in the same direction, not weaving all over the place, but in the same direction. Those are the people that we want to mentor us and lead us. They show us how to live, and when they're tempted to give up, they give us courage to go on. An elder is also an equipper. all of us think of Dick's Sporting Goods and all those other people who say they are equippers. But an elder is to be our equipper. They prepare Christians to do good works of service. They help members find spiritual gifts, and they help equip and train members for ministry. And these are all things, again, from 1 Peter, that elders are to help us to do. On page 127 of They Smell Like Sheep, it says, the authority of an elder grows not out of a title emblazoned on a church letterhood, but out of the quality of the elder's life, the credibility of his walk with God, and his genuineness of service, the authenticity of the relationship with the sheep. Those are the three things that elders are called to do in their call as an elder. And the three things that I want us to look at are three things that are very important. One is their experience, their character, and their vision. As an elder, these men need to have been around for a while. As we talked about, going on the same path, the same way for a long time. They need their time, you wonder why age is an issue. And age is an issue because they've been around longer. They have more experience, and they've had more opportunity to learn from their good things and their hard times. Time lends them a perspective. It deepens their wisdom. It refines their judgment. There was an elder in Huntington, Ernie Stewart, and he was known throughout the valley. His wife was known throughout the valley for her apple pie, of which I have her recipe for that. But he was known throughout the Ohio Valley as an awesome elder for the church. And he was known because of his Bible knowledge, and he was known because of his, he would always talk about the elders laying hands on people. He would lay hands on people to help them find their direction and their duties. But I listened to him so carefully because, one, I loved him and had great respect for him. But he had this opportunity over his 80-plus years. He had the opportunity to change his mind and his attitude about different scriptures and about different things that happened in life, because he had a harder stance when he was younger. And as he grew older, he realized that life isn't always picture perfect. Things don't always happen as you plan it. And he realized that God's word didn't change, but the way he looked at what God was telling him changed. And one of the things I remember him saying in tears one day was that he had wished he hadn't been so hard on himself and some of the other people along the way. His time and his experience had helped him to realize that he needed to refine his judgment. He needed to refine the way he was thinking. Again, a man who's been experienced with life, does he know himself? Can he stand the pressure and remain calm in the midst of chaos? Has he dealt gently with people who hit him with bitter criticism? Has he nurtured relationships? Those are things about being around for a while and having life. Also, he needs to have experience with being around Jesus for a long time. Not a novice or a convert, experience trial and error, experience victory and defeat when Jesus is at work in his life and the lives of others. Jesus needs to be at work. Our elders need to be Jesus people. But they also need to be, elders also need to be men who have been around the devil for a long time. Somebody who's wrestled with sin and temptation and won. Someone who is wise to Satan's ways. Someone who has hammered out the practical methods to deal with the evil one. You have to have a plan when dealing with Satan, because it's a spiritual battle. It's something that will come to all of us in time. And we have to have a plan, and we have to deal with what Satan throws our way. He also has to be shockproof. We'll be able to listen with his heart and generally understand the sheep. I like to think that I can't be shocked anymore. But I live another day and realize, oh, Yes, that's pretty shocking. But when that shock comes your way, you have to deal with it with love, and you have to deal with it with the eyes of Christ. And that's what helps us to deal with the world as it is today. These men who aspire to be elders, and again, all of these things really apply to all of us, but especially our elders, is these men have to have experience with the Word of God. They have to be around the Bible. They have to be able to teach. They need to live the Word and not merely study the Bible. I always had this, since we are being recorded, I'm not going to mention the name, but there was an elderly man that was at the Grove City Church when I grew up. And if Phyllis was here, Diane doesn't know who it is, but if Phyllis was here, she would just roll her eyes, I'm sure, and go, yes, yes. But this man would argue in Bible class with whoever was teaching. He would pull out from his references, he would pull out from his chain references some bizarre thing, and he'd say, what do you think about that? And you'd go, I don't know. I'll look it up. We'll see. So you look it up, and he's saying the same thing that you were saying, but just in a, you know, somewhere else. And one time I told this gentleman who I was teaching class, I said, we're on the same side. Please stop fighting with me. And I'd see Diana shaking her head. She knows exactly who I'm talking about. Anyway, so we have to have experience the Word. And I want to reiterate that it's not just studying it, but living it. Living it out in your life. Men who teach the Word positively and encourage and instruct and answer questions. Men who decide or desire to be elders should also have experiences with successful family relationships. The husband of one wife, one woman, and their marriage should exemplify purity and fidelity, love, keeping covenants, successful with his kids, and that his kids are faithful to Christ. Also, it means men who love God, love the people of God, love the people who don't know God, and hospitable and kind and approachable. Those are all things that elders need to be experienced with. And again, as I've had this conversation and I'm reading this, I realize these are things that all of us need to have. Now, do they need to master these perfectly? That should be their desire. That should be their desire. That should be our desire. But as we know, none of us are perfect in all of these things. But they need to be people who stand out and lead. The second part of this, not only experience, but of character, men of character. And I'll spend a little less time on this one because I feel like we know what, in our class this morning, if you were there, Dan led us in a conversation about virtue, about character. From Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. There's nothing against you being forgiving to somebody. There are no laws against you being peaceful with somebody. Because that is who we are called to be. Those are the things we are called to be and do. And so in an elder, and as you look at this umbrella, citizenship, honesty, trust, compassion, courage, all of those things stand out. Those are things all of us need to look at and be a part of. Character is of utmost importance. One of the conversations that I've had in elder selection in the past is sometimes we talk within ourselves and among ourselves about it, but one of the things that Scripture actually tells us and reminds us, what is this man's reputation in the community? And I heard a conversation one time of a person who was being considered and selected, of course, it was after the fact, that the community reputation of this person was not very good. And it come to show at a later time. But it was one of those things that, you know, we don't check those things. Well, how do you feel about this person? How do you feel about this person? And then we need to check and to know and to really know who it is we're putting before us. One of the other characteristics, so we have experience, character, and the last one is vision. Vision, as my puberty voice is still happening here. Vision is something that elderships need to exceed in, because in order for church to grow and to be who they need to be in God's eyes, we have to have a vision, we have to have a plan, and we have to have a direction that we are going. These need to be men who will lead boldly and will not only dream, but have the ability to transform the dreams into reality. I was sharing this quote with Todd earlier today. It's from William Shakespeare, talking about dreams. It says, but a man's dream should exceed his grasp, or what is heaven for? I really like that. Really like that. Our dreams need to exceed what we can put our hands on. Otherwise, what is heaven for? You and I can't do anything about heaven. It's way beyond our grasp. Robert Kennedy said, most people see things as they are and ask why. And in our day, we must see the thing that they could be and ask why not. And ask why not. There's a story I wanted to read to you today. It's about the Swiss mountain shepherds. And the Swiss mountain shepherds exercise unique visionary leadership with their flocks. In Switzerland, during the heat of the summer and the hot sun, sometimes drains the lower valleys of moisture and the grazing plays out. To provide healthy grazing, to keep from losing the weak and the lambs, the shepherd lead the flock to the high country to graze in the lush alpine meadows. To get there, however, they must climb the precarious steeps and through the rugged rock. And the older sheep resist. They feel secure where they are, and besides, they have done the hard trail and don't want to do it again. So the shepherds hoist the lambs on their shoulders and carry them up the hard trails to the high country. Of course, the older sheep want to be near their young, and they trust those who care for the lambs. So eventually, in spite of the loss of the familiar and in spite of the hard climb ahead, the older sheep will follow. Today's spiritual shepherds who authentically care for their flocks sometimes face a similar dilemma. The survival of the flock, especially the young and the weak, depends on some of the changes that the older rams and the ewes find painful. They resist. But if the shepherds are willing to smell like lambs, and if they carry the young on their shoulders and boldly lead the way to the heights and the greener pastures, they can eventually gain a following from the older sheep. And in many cases, this difficult adjustment may be the only way for the flock to flourish and even to survive. I encourage you to look this quote up in the book. It's on page 170, 171. But there's such a story in there. There's such a meaning in there that they have to have a relationship. They have to be trusted. They have to lead and show the example in their wisdom, even in the difficult times. That quote was from They Smell Like Sheep. In their leadership, they also have to be flexible. They have to, today's time leading in the fast lane, they have to embrace technology and use it to benefit the flock. There was another quote from the book I wanted to read. It says, welcoming and equipping leadership, not to be a board of directors. Today's enlightened, empowered people will not be attracted to a church where they cannot own and determine some of the mission. Looking for life resources, for coping tools in the midst of life's stress, for meaning and purpose, for hope and the feeling that things can get better, for the authentic circle of relationships. So in spite of church shopping, the people most eager to grow spiritually will stay, put and buy into a congregation that nurtures their spiritual growth of that and that of the families, that equips and empowers them to make a difference and offers them a place where they genuinely belong. They are looking for a church that delivers help, hope, and home. That all sums up to looking for a church that delivers help, hope, and home. I think that's a strategic plan, a motto that we need to embrace, because that's what we all are looking for. We're looking for hope, we're looking for help, and we're looking for a home. And I believe that the elders can help embrace that for us. Our elders and shepherds also need to multiply their leadership and also delegate leadership. So as you look at a shepherd's heart, if you look at what God is calling us to be and shepherds to be, they need to be people who know the sheep. They need to be people who watches over the sheep, that goes before and leads the sheep, that seeks the best for the sheep, defends the sheep, search for the lost and straying sheep, and account for the sheep. Those are the rules and the things that must fill a shepherd's heart in order for a church to grow and for a church to be in God's covenant. So the question is, who fits those categories? Who fits that? Who fits them perfectly? Nobody that I know. But who is striving to do that? Who is striving to have that shepherd's heart that we were just talking about? Who's striving to do that? So as I read these questions, blank will be a name that you need to insert in your mind, in your circle of relationships within this church, of who would fit and who could fit in these spots. So the first one is, I know blank well. I already have some sort of relationship with them. Number two is, I see blank as experienced and competent enough to give wise counsel. Blank is available. I can always find him. Blank is approachable. I find it comfortable to be open with them. Blank is hospitable, expresses love to me in several ways, and often creates opportunities for conversation. I have watched blank make a sound spiritual decisions in their own life. Blank knows the Word of God. Blank is respected by the people I most admire. Kelly will send these out the first of the week. And it would be awesome if you printed it out and filled in some names of some of the men that you feel could fill in these blanks in your life, in your experience at Spring Road. Because we need additional shepherds. We need additional folks to help to look and shepherd this church. And there are men who are here, sitting here and who are absent from here today, who could fill these spots and could help make a difference at Spring Road. If you take out your blue communication card, set up a little differently this week, a couple opportunities at the end of my next step. But the first step, and I hope every one of these come back marked with a check, is that you would pray for our elders, Jay Haver, Tommy Daggett, and Mark Morris. That would be something you would do often, but especially from this call today. That you would read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, or the verses in Titus, and look at those verses. In your own life as a Christian, strive to have those abilities, strive to have those virtues and characteristics in your life, but also look to see who meets those qualifications here at Spring Road. And then the third challenge is to pray for our additional elders, for men to join in the effort here at Spring Road to bless our congregation and bless the Lord's work by working together in a way that honors him and serves and leads by their experience, with their vision, and with their virtues. Today, as we think about that, I encourage us, and we're going to do it right now, we're going to pray for our elders, pray for additional. But I also want to pray that you would take the time to encourage our current elders, that you would take the time to say, hey, blank, I see this in your life. You are someone I follow. There was a lady here a couple weeks ago, one of our new members, who thought that Ray Thorne and I were the elders here. From her view, from her life, that's what she thought. And we straightened her out pretty quick. But as I studied for this lesson, I thought, you know, it made me feel pleased that she would, you know, would recognize or feel that from our interactions. So I encourage you, and we're going to pray here in just a second, but I encourage you to think about this topic, that you would, as Kelly sends these out this week, that you would either mentally or actually print it out and physically write some of those names and maybe encourage the men that you feel meet these qualifications to step up and or to think about being your leaders, if you bow with me. God, we certainly do love you, and we certainly do trust you. And as we look through these characteristics and traits that you put before us about our leadership, we ask, God, that you would help us, all of us, to strive to live to these levels of life, to have these virtues, to have these characteristics in such a way that we would honor you, but also be a bright light to the world around us. God, we are grateful for Jay and Tommy and Mark, and we pray that you would bless them as they lead us here at Spring Road. We pray that you would give them vision, that you would give them wisdom, that you would continue to help them to have and develop relationships within our congregation here. And God, we do pray for those who would desire to serve with them and to serve this congregation. Most of all, God, serve you here. And so we pray for those who would have that desire. We always pray that you would bless our church here. We always pray and ask that your love would continue to show and be shown. We ask you to bless the words from your word that were spoken today. Help us to be blessed. Help us to be good followers. Help us always to assist and bless those that lead us. The shepherds that lead us are gifts from you, and we pray that you would bless them and you would bless us as we follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we offer the invitation, obviously some information today. Go ahead and pass your cards in. Obviously some information that is a blessing to us from God's word, but also some goals for us to look at to attain. How can I be a better follower? How can I be a better leader? How can I assist and make their job easier? How can I be a light for Christ in this dark world so that God's word will be known? If you need prayers for assistance for that, make that known. If you have not yet become a child of God, have not been baptized, have not said, I want to follow and live for Jesus, make that known as well while together we stand and sing the song.